From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, fixing problems with economic development contracts remains one of the top issues left before the legislature's summer adjournment. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, shares his thoughts on his conversation about that with the state comptroller, Tom DiNapoli. And two New York House Republicans face more questions from constituents over their votes on the American Health Care Act. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. One of the top remaining issues before the legislature adjourns for the summer is fixing problems in the state's economic development contracts. That comes after a scandal led to federal corruption charges against nine former associates of Governor Andrew Cuomo. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt reports.
A bill by State Controller Tom DiNapoli to reinstate the controller's ability to oversee the economic development contracts is gaining momentum in the legislature. DiNapoli says for the past several years, hundreds of millions of dollars in contracts connected to the governor's Buffalo Billion and other projects were negotiated largely in secret without any outside monitoring. Those dealings led to nine former Cuomo associates, including the governor's former closest aide, being charged with felonies, ranging from bribery to bid rigging. The controller's bill would, among other things, restore oversight powers that his office held for nearly a century, but lost in a law passed in 2011.
You're talking about billions of dollars now that previously had been under our review. That's not. Can we find everything maybe that could go wrong? Maybe not, but at least if you have an independent set of eyes looking, we might be able to catch some things before you have a problem. And certainly we might get people to think twice before they try to get away with something.
6 years ago, Governor Cuomo persuaded the legislature to rescind the controller's oversight powers. He argued that too many layers slowed progress of his signature economic development projects. Cuomo's introduced a different bill. It would instead create a new inspector general to investigate potential corruption in the awarding of the economic development contracts. The IG would report to the governor. Cuomo, who has often feuded with Controller DiNapoli, dismissed the controller's bill as simply a review of the contracts after the fact.
Procurement is not an audit. The problem is not an audit function.
Cuomo says criminal investigators are needed to fix the system.
That's what I think the system needs. Inspector generals, special prosecutors, but let's call it what it is, right? We've had a series of criminal violations. That's not an audit problem.
DiNapoli's bill, however, requires a review of the economic development contracts before they are signed. The controller says he already has the power to audit state agencies and authorities periodically after they've signed contracts and made decisions.
It's one thing to audit an entity after there's a problem, but it's something else to be able to review a contract ahead of time. And that's really what we're trying to get at. We have broad audit authorities, but what good does it do to audit an entity after something has gone off the rails?
Senate Majority Leader John Flanagan, a Republican, says he's open to Democrat Cuomo's ideas, but he says more of his GOP members actually back the Democratic controller's plan. He calls it an extraordinarily important issue.
I truly believe that the controller plays an absolutely critical role in public policy in the state of New York, and his oversight and his authority and his regulatory discretion is something that I think we embrace.
Flanagan spoke at a forum sponsored by the Albany Times Union. He was joined by Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie. Speaker Hastie says the Democrats, who hold a majority in the Assembly, have begun talking about the measures, and he thinks it's important to restore public trust.
The people in the state of New York will still feel better knowing if there's some involvement or some other entity looking at it, perhaps like the controller. It's just another set of eyes that will make people feel better. Yes, that things were done correctly.
Senator Flanagan predicts there will be a law on procurement reform enacted before the end of the session. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Giustina. Democratic Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney spoke at a healthcare town hall this week in a neighboring district. Hundreds packed a room in Kingston to hear from Maloney, who launched an adopt-a-district challenge asking House representatives to step into Republican districts to explain the House bill to repeal Obamacare. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn was there.
Congressman Maloney took the mic at the Senate garage to prolonged cheers and applause.
I'm Representative Sean Patrick Maloney. Where the heck is your congressman?
Maloney, who represents the 18th District, was in Republican Congressman John Faso's 19th District to answer questions about how the American Health Care Act, narrowly passed by the House May 4th, would affect them. At one point, Maloney asked if the audience wanted to have some fun.
This is called grassroots organizing. Everybody take out your phones. Everybody take out your phones.
He then instructed them to go on to Twitter.
And you're going to tweet it, at John Faso NY, at, ampersand, John Faso NY, and you're going to say, missing you in Kingston, how's the fundraiser? Do it right now, all of you. Every one of you.
Maloney said Faso was in Albany attending the fundraiser, and he believes word about the town hall's message will reach Faso.
Well, I'm told that Adopt a District is trending on Twitter tonight, so I have a feeling he's going to hear about it loud and clear.
Earlier in the day, Faso spoke to constituents at the New York Statewide Senior Action Council's spring meeting at the Kingston Library. In general, Faso has said he prefers smaller gatherings with constituents that allow for civil discourse instead of open public town halls. Ulster County Executive Mike Hine embraces Adopt a District.
I hope what we're seeing here is an extraordinary wake-up call for him. Because to be quite frank with you, to think that they would move forward on this kind of a bill with no clear understanding of what the costs are or what the true impact is across this country. Again, the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, hadn't even seen it. It's wildly irresponsible. And as my grandmother would have said, how could you?
The Democratic Hine ruled out a run for Congress last time around, but how about in 2018?
I love what I do here in Ulster County.
In February, Catskill resident Andrea Mitchell attended a rally in Kinderhook outside Faso's home and got a hug from the congressman after she told him her concern about losing health insurance given her pre-existing conditions. Mitchell, who appeared on MSNBC last weekend, spoke during Maloney's adopted town hall, says she appreciated Maloney adopting her district and may reach out to Faso in the coming days.
The fact that he won't show up and defend this vote is really hurtful. I would like an explanation, and I know everyone in this room would like an explanation on how he could justify both promising to protect us and voting yes on this new bill.
Faso has said pre-existing conditions and guaranteed issue are protected in the bill, already law in New York. Dustin Reedy is an organizer of Indivisible New York 19, which hosted the town hall.
Being able to have someone in Congress who's saying, I'm fighting for you, and actually just listening to people's stories and having a sympathetic ear and giving folks a platform to be heard, I think is an important thing for the folks in this room tonight to have that.
Keith Kanega from Ghent in Columbia County turned out to hear Maloney.
I thought he was dynamite. I thought it was really fantastic. I was ready to ask him, is it possible under our Constitution to have one representative for two districts? But I didn't get a chance to ask him.
Stone Ridge resident Maggie Colan is worried about insurance covering her needs.
He didn't necessarily have specific answers for everybody, but he made me feel better. He made me realize there are politicians out there that, even though this passed, still care about us. And because I do, I feel abandoned. I feel abandoned by my government.
Faso's spokeswoman called the town hall a purely partisan political rally. Here's Maloney.
For the people like John Faso who say, oh, this is some stunt, I wish they could come here and see the sincerity of the people here who are telling their stories, who are talking about serious health issues in their own lives, and who are scared to death about what the Republicans are doing. You know, this isn't some game. This is people's health care.
Meanwhile, the National Republican Congressional Committee Tuesday launched a digital ad campaign in the 19th Congressional District entitled Promise Made, Promise Kept. The ad thanks Republicans for passing the American Health Care Act and says that Obamacare is in a death spiral.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
Nearly 200 protesters gathered on the grounds of Mountain Lake PBS in advance of a forum held by Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik in Plattsburgh this week. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley went to hear their concerns.
The forum drew protesters outside as the congresswoman and participants arrived for the evening taping. The 100 people allowed into the studio were chosen by lottery. Each received a numbered card, and during the forum, numbers were drawn at random to determine who could ask questions of the congresswoman. Stefanik, a second-term Republican, noted during her opening comments that she expected many people would want to hear about her health care vote, and that was the case. Questions regarding the impact of the American Health Care Act dominated the forum. The audience liberally peppered the conversation with groans, boos, and an occasional shout when they disagreed with Stefanik's responses.
My name is Carol Solari-Rusco, and I live in the town of Peru. Congress has voted to defund Planned Parenthood. Why did you vote to prevent people from going to the health care provider of their choice?
My vote was to redirect and increase that funding to federally qualified health centers.
My name is Nina Matto, and I live in Westport, New York. Defunding Planned Parenthood does not really reflect the low-income needs of people in our district. The president said people with pre-existing conditions will be covered in the new health care bill. However, there are several loopholes.
There is language in the American Health Care Act that explicitly prohibits insurers from not accepting patients that have pre-existing conditions. It also doesn't allow them to increase prices and charge an individual more if they have pre-existing conditions.
Not according to the MacArthur Amendment.
My name is Mary Ward, and you just voted to decimate millions of dollars of Medicaid. The CBO reports that you have received over $32,000 from the health insurance industry for your campaign. This single-payer system is working. That is Medicare.
I disagree with Senator Sanders that single-payer is the best solution, and let me tell you why. We've seen it hasn't worked when it comes to VA.
Then fix it.
I think the long-term solvency...
Then fix it. Don't throw the whole idea out. Medicare works.
This question came from Beth Ashworth on Twitter, who explains that her spouse is a farmer and his premium costs will go to $14,000 per year out of a $30,000 salary, and would like you to explain why the rich are getting a tax break and not farmers.
The goal of reforming healthcare is to lower cost and improve quality and access. So my hope is that we're going to have a more flexible marketplace that will bring down costs so that it's actually more affordable than plans that are on the exchange.
We have about...
Respectfully, you didn't answer the question about why the rich are getting tax breaks. That was the question she read off.
Sure. So it is true, Obamacare increase taxes on Americans across the board on cost of health care. So there were,
okay, folks, let's
so our let's legislation, keep this. I believe in lowering taxes, lowering the tax burden on individuals and families in this district.
Following the forum, Betty Ann King felt the audience overall was respectful, but wanted answers.
The gist of the audience was that you need to listen to us and perhaps maybe not so much spin and be honest with us and tell us what is going on.
Kimberly Davis appreciated the unscripted nature of the questioning, but perceived the Congresswoman's answers as too scripted.
You have to remember that she was Paul Ryan's debate coach. You know, as an elected official, what people are going to ask. So I'm sure she had her pat answers down and was prepared. So do I expect her to change her spots or stripes? No, I don't.
Audio of the forum is courtesy of Mountain Lake PBS.
For the Legislative Gazette,
I'm Pat Bradley.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Alan, this week, you spoke with the comptroller of the state of New York, Tom DiNapoli, about the issue of procurement, about his ability to pre-audit contracts, and the fact that Governor Cuomo had taken that away from him, and those contracts that are now under investigation with close members of his administration going to trial. And we are seeing also government reformers, of course, pushing for this procurement bill. Your thoughts on what's needed to make sure that things are on the up and up?
If you want a lesson in hypocrisy, you can look at what the governor is doing here. The first thing he does is he doesn't like Tom DiNapoli. Who knows why? He almost kills him when he runs for office the first time. I mean, politically kills him when he runs for office. Tom DiNapoli is a stupendous, wonderful public servant. He has proven himself to be worthy of all of our respect because he goes after the bad guys, and he is very tough on the governor. Governor doesn't like it. Governor doesn't like his agencies being looked at. So the governor comes to the legislature, who in their usual world's oldest profession away go along with what he wants, which is to take away the constitutionally authorized, mandated extra branch of government that is supposed to look at the way in which the government is being run, and takes away his function to, quote, pre-audit a number of contracts. And he takes it away, and that's when the mud hits the fan. That's when it starts apparently to be used as a personal playground for a number of people who believe that they are above the law. And those are just allegations. I want to make that clear. There is a trial coming up, although one of the people who has been indicted about this has already pled guilty. So that's a little of that famous smoke and fire that we see. So now Cuomo is embarrassed, obviously. He should be embarrassed because he took the power to pre-audit what clearly could have prevented all of this from happening away from the comptroller. Well, now the cat's away, mice will play, and now, and that's exactly what happened, apparently, allegedly. And now we see that the governor says, we have to be better on that. I'll appoint an inspector general. We have a comptroller. That's his job. I'll appoint an inspector general to do what? To look at me. Oh, and who will be the appointing authority? I will. And who will he be looking at? Me. Are you kidding?
You also spoke with the comptroller about health care and its impact on the state. He said that the state could be in a $2 billion hole if the repeal of Obamacare were to go through. And while the state has in the budget put some provision in case that happens, it still will hurt New York tremendously.
Well, that's right. You remember what this whole fight is about. John Faso and Mr. Collins, another representative from the Buffalo area, were in such trouble about voting for this thing that they added a rider that only in New York State, the counties would be held hold harmless, and the state would have to pay the entire Medicare bill, which is huge. And the governor didn't like that and fought back. Now, many of us, including Tom DiNapoli, by the way, earlier in his legislative career, believed that the counties should not have to pay a share of the Medicare. At one point, it was about a third. It's less now. And it has been argued by Representative Faso and Collins that what really is going on here is that the governor doesn't want to assume it, because sooner or later, everybody's going to have to pay that tax. Either you're going to pay it through your county or you're going to have to pay it through the state. It's probably true that the county shouldn't have to do it. Nevertheless, why only New York? Why only to give political cover to Faso and to Collins? That's what this was all about. We all know it. And it was the sap that got them to get over and to vote for the bill, which they needed, the Republicans needed desperately in the House of Representatives. both men are under tremendous pressure because they voted for this bill, this health care bill, very unpopular in New York State. So that's what that was really all about.
And, of course, you had a call-in program with Representative Faso, Congressman, of course, Republican from New York's 19th District, who faced questions about his vote, as well as the Northern New York Congresswoman, Elise Stefanik, who did a PBS televised town hall where she also faced the same questions.
Well, look, both people, Faso and Stefanik, believe that if they walk into a room which is loaded with people who hate the new revision of health care offered by the Republicans, that they're going to get beaten up and people are going to yell and scream at them. And there are many people who believe that if you're a congressman, you go into a town meeting and you face the music. And we have seen that some people have been destroyed. There was one congressman who got up and said, nobody ever died of, lack of health care, to which he received tremendous boos and had to walk it back. And, so it's a dangerous situation. Now, John Faso says he comes on the Vox Pop, our radio show, and takes every question, which he did. And by the way, get taken in order. There's no preferential treatment. I have a hint of what people are going to say because the screener says, okay, this is what this person wants to talk about. But I never, ever take anybody out of order. So no matter what anybody says, they take it. And he answered the questions. And most people who listen think that he answered fluently and well. On the other hand, in the middle of the night, I began to get all kinds of messages that what he said wasn't true. I think he's put himself in political danger, Faso, for going down this road in this way and voting for this bill. He said that he would not endanger Planned Parenthood, but he voted for the bill, which does. He says, well, that he has said in the past that while he's against it and while he voted against it in committee, he had made it clear that he would not vote against the whole bill during that thing. A lot of people don't like that. They think it's weaseling out. In any case, 2018 is going to be a very interesting election.
Also in the news this week, you spoke with the controller about this, Alan, and it has to do with the environment, but the state's investments in fossil fuels and the companies that are involved with fossil fuels. And many have called, some lawmakers and other groups have called for the controller's office to divest of these funds. And he said he'd rather, fight it from the inside. And he gave his explanation for why.
David, that's right. I've been interviewing controllers for many, many years now. And there's a good side to that, which is, you get to compare what all of them said, Republicans and Democrats and everybody. And the bad side is you get old and nobody likes that. So they all say the same thing. They all say that their number one responsibility is to produce money for the pensioners of New York State. They are the sole trustees. Their job is bottom line, to make sure there's enough money. He also said, as you just indicated, that he can do tremendous amount of good by having major amounts of stock in some of these companies and having his people get up and insist on certain kinds of ethical behavior from them. Good point. Probably true. He also says that whatever he does, he's not investing in coal, for example, dirty coal. And so it's a balancing act that all controllers have to do. It's a tough thing for them to have to face, but they do it, and they all say the same thing, Republicans, Democrats, and everybody else when they're in office, because it's part of what they do. I'm thinking about cigarette companies. We had that fight with cigarette companies years and years ago. I remember asking controllers about that. Same answer.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1719. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.